Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's Advanced Individual Training. I'm blessed to come to you tonight live to our family and friends here in Maryland, those that are with us via the streaming in Vermont, literally all over the world. And I want to ask you, if you would, to just bow your head with me and pray as we begin. Lord, I come to you on behalf of this people on a night when I know you are going to speak to us, where those who want to hear you will have our hearts filled with your truth and your love. I pray that in the coming hour that you'll be glorified, your gospel will be proclaimed, and your grace will be so evident that it'll be undeniable that hope happens here. Be glorified, our King. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, let me just remind you that this is not just another AIT. This is an advanced individual training night that is intentionally set for what the world refers to as Good Friday. But this isn't just Good Friday. This is a great Friday. And when we were looking at this opportunity to come back together and to train and to hear what God is doing and to learn how God does what he does, it was laid on my heart that Saturday, where we would normally do our AITs, somehow was out of line. That I can't imagine a better way to celebrate Great Friday than to declare the gospel. This is the day that our King died on the cross to give you and me the opportunity to have life, to share his glory story. And so on a night when we've come together to bring God glory by learning how to share his gospel and demonstrate that we are in fact children of the King, those who have been embraced and captured by grace, I'm thrilled for this opportunity. And as we look at not just advanced individual training, but how to be an AIT, I want to thank you for coming. Those that are going to be with us via the recording, I pray that whether it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whether it's morning or evening, whether you're happy or sad, I pray that you come to hear God speak to you and that you'll be changed forevermore because of this time. Amen. Well, watch, listen, I pray be inspired by our sister who is just back from a week in Uganda being an AIT. Christine, take us to God and his word.
I want to thank everybody for coming tonight, for your support, and for coming to hear what God has done in and through his people. We're here to talk about how to be an AIT and advancing inspirational trainers. But in my quiet time with the Lord, just remembering that we don't have the ability to do anything, but it's through the power of his Holy Spirit that he gives us the ability to do so much, because he died on a cross to save us from our sins and then brought us to be his children and gives us his Holy Spirit to go and be the light to the nations. And I was reminded of that tonight. So I just want to inspire all of you to remember, it's not through our own abilities, but it's through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I thank God for that. So I want to start out by just sharing with you the preparations that really went into what God did during the week in Uganda. And it's so much more than what is seen from the outside. There was many prayers for months and months from all of the Bridge family just seeking revelation and guidance. I knew that God had called me back to Uganda, but I also know my brothers and sisters prayed for me and to understand what our call is as a church to go and share. The Lord spoke loudly through his whispering words. He spoke through answered prayers. He spoke through Pastor Jeff's encouragement. He spoke through dreams to me and other circumstances. So when God lays something on your heart, just seek him in prayer. Our brother Moses and Edward, they have been consistently pouring into the women of the villages every week in Uganda, remaining committed to nurturing the church family and leading others to Christ. Every week, we meet our brothers and sisters in Skype, and many of you here tonight have poured into them and have prayed for them. And God has been growing them in his truth and in his word and in his love. In getting ready for the trip, I received 100% support from my husband, who was trusting all the time in the Lord's leading, never questioning if I should go or not. Our Bridge Church family around the world prayed that the Lord would reveal his will and guide our preparation for the upcoming week in Uganda. There were a number of people that participated in many different ways, some as prayer partners, others helped financially with food, giving and paying for transportation through the week. There were letters written of encouragement from sisters for me to open on the plane and for us to share with our Bridge family in Uganda. And then there were the anchor bags that were made 3 years ago that were still touching hearts today in Uganda, in places that we'll talk about later. Moses prayerfully and diligently coordinated all the detailed connections and logistics for our collective week on mission. And Edward, he prepared to interpret the Lord's message all week long, 5 6-hour days of interpretation. And John, he was committed to being our driver for the week, sometimes 4 hours on the road. Our Bridge Uganda family members sacrificed their time away from their work schedules and valuable opportunities to earn income. And you know, unlike in America, where we have paid vacation, paid sick time, sometimes our brothers and sisters there have to travel 90 to 100 miles away just to get jobs for a week. But this shows commitment to really wanting and thirsting God's word. So let me go and show you what occurred on day one, where it was a beautiful celebration of Daphne's baptism. This is our group before the baptism. Daphne's in the middle in a polka-dotted black and white dress. And after the baptism, you'll see that we have a picture of her with the Bridge shirt. Matthew's got it coming up. But I will tell you, there's a story behind that shirt. The amazing thing is I packed it for the trip, having no idea that we were going to be baptizing someone the day after I got there. And this is just, again, the Lord. It was even the perfect size of fitter. So this is our sister Daphne now, as a member of our church. The first day, as you can see, we were down at the lake, Lake Victoria. Our brothers and sisters were so excited as soon as the baptism was over to go into God's Word and start learning. And our intention was to cover the fundamentals: God's Word, God's will, and God's way. But let me back up a minute because I did forget something. When I was on the plane from the United States to from Dubai to Uganda, the woman sitting next to me was from Uganda. She was traveling home. Mind you, during the preparations, I always prayed, God, who will you have sit next to me? And please just open their heart and give me the opportunity to share. Well, she had told me that she was a born-again Christian, and she asked me if I believed in prophets, and she continued to go into how she follows this prophet, and he tells her all these things, so she'll gain riches, and she'll have a business, and I asked her, who are you really listening to? Is it the prophet that you want to listen to, or is it truly Jesus himself that you want to know and hear from? And do you look at God's word? I can't tell you that she really accepted that message from me, but it's okay because God opened the door and gave me the opportunity to share. But not only that, through that experience, he set the foundation in my heart and he lit a fire, because I knew, even before I stepped into the country of Uganda, I knew my fire was just lit in my heart to go and share who Jesus himself truly is. He's the Lord that we listen to and we follow. And so it was very special that the very first thing to cover was God's word and understanding God's word. And we immediately went into Hebrews 1:1-3. I knew it was so important to set the foundation of who we're listening to. And if I could just read that to you. Hebrews 1:1-3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. It was so important for me to lay that foundation. There are so many voices around our brothers and sisters in Uganda. And who are they, who are you listening to? And so it was so important to really just drive that home and ask the question, do you want to hear from the Lord himself? So we talked about that, and then we also went into the truth of Timothy 3:16, for all of the word is God breathed. We then carried on and talked about God's will and understanding his will. And what is his will? That if we love him, we will obey his command. And whoever obeys my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Do we truly want him? And do we truly love him? And if we do, we'll obey his command. And understanding God's way, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what a special day, knowing that that's exactly what we had just done through Daphne's baptism. That she was proclaiming to anyone on that beach who she was, that she had given her life to the Lord. Just a beautiful day in God's truth. So we asked ourselves, what does this mean and how do we apply it to our lives? And what does it mean to live under God's word, living in his way and by his way? And how do you know you truly are a Christian? So we had many discussions, It was just beautiful celebration that day of truly following the Lord. After that, it was time to worship as one family with the bridge here in Maryland and in Vermont. And we have a beautiful photo of that. We actually had two computers running, one being my cell phone. The bridge provides for the internet that we used in this park. I will tell you that you can't see the whole picture, but like you've seen pictures in the past where our brothers and sisters literally huddle in because they want to see and worship. The singing, the celebration, and just the joy of being in the Lord's presence through all of this. During our second day, we went through the framework, the life cycle. We've covered this in the past, but this is really special to me because teaching it to new believers and some that probably hadn't quite been captured by grace yet by the Lord. We spent a lot of time understanding the difference between lost and becoming a lover of the Lord. More so than I ever expected. We spent 2 days on just this. Why? Because we were really digging in to really understand what does it mean to be captured by grace. You'll see we have another photo. This is our group in the village. You'll see a young lady who sits in the doorway every day. She lives next door. Each one of those doorways is another apartment. So we not only had our bridge family gathered together, but there were others coming and seeking to listen. We learned that all start out dead in our sins, wanting our own way, and that a true lover of God wants to go back to the lost and rescue others. But first, we really need to understand what does it mean to be a lover of God? What does it mean to be captured by grace? And one of the questions that came from the group is, can someone have heard the gospel and still be lost? And the answer is yes. It only is by the grace of God and through His Holy Spirit and the miracle that a changed heart can occur. And as we went through that discussion, you'll see we have Camoga Robert. And he had proclaimed that he felt his heart changing as we had this discussion through the day. It was absolutely beautiful. On day 3, we started to share our testimonies. The Lord had led me during the experience to give out homework assignments each night. Yeah. And the first homework assignment was to prepare to share your testimony the next day. It was powerful. You'll see a picture of that. This is Annette with the red bow in her hair, sharing with Barbara. And Annette shared with us her very heart-wrenching life story. God had spared her son's life when he was a little child, actually probably still a toddler, to the point where He has actually a very large hole in his head. He had been in the hospital for a year and a half. And through that time, Annette was in the hospital with him the entire time. The hospitals in Uganda are nothing like the hospitals here in the United States. They're dirty. If you don't have any money, you will not get taken care of at all. You won't get medical assistance. They'll just send you away. But somehow, by God's grace, the Lord took care of that young man. And it almost brings me to tears now because he's a walking miracle, literally. He's about 12 years old, absolutely beautiful child. He sat with us the entire week, listening and learning. During this time, Annette's husband had abandoned her with her two children. And today, Robert, who you saw in the previous picture, was asking, how do I forgive the father, because he sees him in town often. And again, it's only through the love of our Lord changing our hearts that we can find that forgiveness. She continued to share with the ladies how the Lord had worked in her life and changed her heart. But it was a very difficult story, and she suffers greatly. A lot of the women in the village have been infected with HIV. There's a lot of shame that goes along with that, and a lot of suffering. And along those lines, the women, each of them, took a turn to just share words of encouragement to our sister Annette, one by one. They weren't asked to. They weren't told to. They just did, because this is where God was leading their hearts. It was an absolute beautiful time where you could truly see the bridge. I mean, the church, God building his church right there. And the love that we should have for one another, the Queen Ania. After we shared our testimonies, we discussed the big picture. And it was amazing. We spent 2 days really digging in. We talked about who the Creator is, the challenge, how we're all born, how we're all start out as sinners, and how the cure is the Lord. He's the only cure. The commandments, if you love me, you'll truly obey me. The Great Commission, what it is to be the church, to be a Christian, the completion, Christ dying on the cross so that we may be saved. It's only by his grace. And the closure. There's two options, heaven or hell. There is a forever, but there's only one eternal life, and that's through Jesus himself. We spent a lot of time talking about the Creator. You know, the Creator loves the creation. But we're corrupt in our lives. We turn away from him, but it's through his love that he comes and captures us anyway, despite our sin And he calls us to repent and believe in him. The love that he has for his creation is just overwhelming. When you see the hate that we had, the deception and the corruption in our hearts. The cure, he provided the cure to us through his word. Jesus is the word. He is the way. Through his spirit and through his people. So we read his word. If we have his word and we have his people, but we don't have his spirit, we don't have the whole picture. If we have his word and his spirit, but we don't have his people to go and proclaim, we don't have the whole picture. But with all three, we have the cure. And his name is Jesus. We went through the commandments, the truth of his word, and the love, and the warfare. And the warfare is very real. With all three, he calls us on mission. And then we went and talked about the Great Commission. It was so important to us. We deliver the word, develop the worshipers, deploy the workers. But what happens if you deliver the word and you deploy the workers, but you have no worshipers? You're just a conveyor belt. Our brothers and sisters, we had to explain what a conveyor belt is. And it was actually pretty cool because they have a lot of Coca-Cola bottles there. So we were able to talk about a Coca-Cola factory. If you're just pouring information into the person, into the people, and just sending them out, but they're not worshiping the Lord, if they're not relying on him, then you just have this factory of people filled, going out, but no actual love for the Lord. And then if you deliver the word, develop the worshipers, but you're not sending on anyone out, what are you? You're just a cocoon. And we could cocoon all day long, and we could be friends all day long, but if we're not going out and being the light, we don't have the full picture. And we talked about the church. We talked about the difference between a Christian and a Pharisee. Heresy. You could have a seedling, but it's learning to grow. But without the miracle of God, it could fade away. He needs to be the one to change our heart. We talked about the completion. We have creation. We have the crucifixion of our Lord. And we have him defeating death, raising from the dead, all through God's glory, God's grace. Again, creation came. The Creator came and come to save us from our sins. In the closing, there's two options. We're here now, and the option is heaven or hell. Without the miracle of his saving grace, we'll continue to be lost, and there is a forever. Or we can have eternal life, which is Jesus, and living in him forever. This is what's so important for our brothers and sisters to know, the urgency to go out and share with others. We've been captured by grace. If we sit and we're cocooned, we're just being selfish, taking it in, keeping it for ourselves. But the Lord has captured us because he wants us to go to help rescue others. During this whole time, we saw true zealous commitments to learning. All of our brothers and sisters were taking notes for hours on end. I know you've all seen the tricircles that describe what I went over. Those circles are now ready to be shared throughout the villages. They're going, and our brothers and sisters have the tools that they need to share with others. They were diligently taking notes the entire time. That evening, in my prayer time with the Lord, I was told by him that I needed to go and share my personal testimony in a very transparent way with the ladies the next day. And again, it's so important to know that when you're discipling others, that we really need to rely on the Lord and his Holy Spirit all the time to lead us. He will speak to you. Also that night, I want to let you know, I had some serious spiritual warfare going on while I was sleeping about 1:30 in the morning. Literally woke up with terror feelings, which is not normal for me. I couldn't get up and make a phone call to home. I didn't want to wake everybody else up, but I did quietly look on my phone. I saw our sister Mary online. I asked her to pray for me. I will tell you, I had a very peaceful sleep the entire night after that. It was absolutely beautiful. And it's so important for us knowing that there is spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't want us to be doing what we're doing, but the Lord himself will always overcome. And as we are the church, it's so important for us to rely on one another and share that love. It means so much to the mission itself, not just to me and my feelings, but to the mission, to keep us going. So that night, I got the peace I needed. And then the Lord said, Christine, you need to go and you need to share your testimony and you need to be more transparent than you've ever been. Because, you know, we were still looking at the life cycle and we were still distinguishing lost to lover. And it was so important for me to go back and really share, what does lost really mean? It's not that we need a church to make us feel better and give us a family, but we need Christ because we're so dead in our sins and our sins are so wretched. But he has come and saved us. And so to go and glorify him, it was so important for me to share that testimony. As a group, after sharing that transparent testimony, the question was, are you looking for a good church, or are you truly wanting Christ and Christ alone? The most important and subsequent discussion that came out of that discussion was, how do I know I'm saved? And that is what Robert asked as we continued to carry on. Not only that, but the ladies became very and increasingly more transparent about their personal sins and how God saved them, how the Lord Jesus came. And it was really important because, you know, they need to be comfortable knowing their story in order to go and share with others. There's no more humility. The Lord took that away. We don't need to be ashamed anymore because our personal stories will help to bring the truth of where we were when we were lost to where we are now, a true lover of God. And so from there, we step back into the life cycle, the fight. Matthew, we have that photo up. Going from lost to lover to now learner, leader, and then a lifer. And at every stage of this, we have our head, our heart, and our hands. And do we truly have the whole picture if we're missing any one of those? But with all three, you see Christ in the middle. While we were discussing what it means to be a lover of God, this discussion carried on for 2.5 days. Robert said he was becoming a lover of God. He could feel it in his heart. He was seeking his word. Upon understanding the biblical truth, there was actually a sense of righteous anger beginning to surface in the response to our discussions regarding the spread of false easy believism, and just say this prayer to be saved gospels that are misleading countless number of Ugandans today. This is why it's so important to get the message out, because there's so many false teachers out there trying to mislead people. Just say this prayer and Jesus will save you. There were other discussions about, well, I'm saying I'm a born-again Christian, but I continue to practice my sin on a regular basis. Because, well, Jesus just didn't take that away from me. So I'm comfortable in that sin. And now we were truly seeing the real differences between what it really means to be a lover and what it means to still continue to be lost in your sins. As we continued through the life cycle, everyone was really able to identify where they were in the life cycle. I will tell you that many were saying that they were in the learner stage, but you could also see that there were leaders starting to blossom out of all of this. Just absolutely beautiful. And I know that they were, because I could see they were ready to take that information, that notes, and go and share. There were also deep discussions flourishing. What if I only have two of the three out of the head, the heart, and the hands? And then, like I said, the difficult realities of someone saying they're born again but intentionally sinning, well, how do we go and share with those people the truth? Because there's many of those discussions going on. I want you to know that our brothers and sisters there face much persecution too from these discussions. Edward himself and now the ladies have been truly inspired to go and share that truth. We also talked about the Christ-like call to pray for those who refuse to repent, and noting that it's always our goal for restoration, not condemnation. This was a very strong topic as well, because you could see the love in the hearts of the ladies, that even though they knew people were hurting others, intentionally sinning, they so desperately wanted to see those people restored to the Lord. And I'm telling you, you could see there's just this fire lit in their hearts to go and tell the truth. I think you'll appreciate the next photo, which is of Edward sharing the stick man gospel. I will tell you that after this experience, I will never see the stick man gospel the same. Absolutely beautiful. Edward, like I said, did a lot of interpreting for us. So he went through the entire stick man gospel, just explaining it to everyone the first time. And at the end, when we got to Titus 1:11, there was absolute rejoicing. They must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. The women in the group heard that truth and were inspired to go and now proclaim the truth to others. We went through how we all start out dead in our sins, and it only is by miracle that we can even come to the cross. Amen. That it's only through the Lord's drawing us to Him. We can't do this on our own. He has to do that miracle. And we have to cry out to Him. But there are so many that go over the cross. And we know that truth, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Our brothers and sisters see this truth all the time in Uganda. And they are truly ready to go and tell others that it's only by His miracle that they could be captured by grace and come to the cross. You'll see there's another picture, Matthew. And this is the other side of our brothers and sisters understanding the stick man gospel. Again, we had a homework assignment the next day, And their homework for the night was to be prepared to present the stick man gospel in the morning. But we want to give them the tools to just not only have a printout, because again, we live in the United States, it's easy for us to print this out and carry it around with us. But our brothers or sisters are going to villages without paper, without pen, but we can still share God's truth with others. And so that's exactly what we did. We got our stick in the sand, and Nobuto volunteered to present the stick man gospel to our group. And then the entire group participated in putting it together. It was beautiful. And this was not done in a 5-minute presentation. This was done as a group for a couple of hours, really understanding and learning. And the key to all this is this can be duplicated anywhere. Anywhere in the world. You can go to work tomorrow and write out the stick man gospel to your coworkers. You could go to Kenya next and teach in the villages there the stick man gospel. But the most important thing is that we're equipping our brothers and sisters to go and share that truth. It's a universal language. So everyone participated and pulled together like iron sharpening iron. What our next discussion was family. How could we be the family? First, we need to worship up. Always being in connection with our Lord. Amen. Our in, walking in, and our pouring out to others. And let me just backtrack again, because that night, again in my prayer time, the Lord truly revealed to me that I was to discuss Philippians 2 with the group and really understanding what Christ-likeness is, that our Lord came to serve and not be served, and this is what he calls us to do. This is the work that he does in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. It was a beautiful time to really just check ourselves, check our hearts. Are we truly in line with where the Lord wants us to be? So that then we could go and truly love others the way that he calls us to. And you'll see a picture of the children. Oh, you have a picture. Yeah, that's just one picture. We were probably surrounded by, I think we had about 5 or 6 children with us all week long, from 2 years old to about 12 or 13 years old. And they stayed with us the entire time, learning, loving one another. Just absolutely beautiful. During our discussion on family, significant time was spent explaining the word koinonia, and that it's a privilege, a power, and purpose for the people of God. This is what he calls us to. Discussion was focused on the difference between going to church, versus understanding and living as those who realize that Christians are the church and that the people is the church. We don't need a building to be the church. These pictures reflect that. And I hope you see that tonight, because we can be the church anywhere. We don't, it's just, I can't tell you how breathtaking it is to see the pouring in that Moses and Edward has done. And this is just one life group that we met while we were there. We have 4 or 5 life groups in the entire Kampala area. And there's true koinonia that we saw occurring, especially when the ladies were pouring in and encouraging Annette and encouraging one another all week long, encouraging Edward at times and Edward encouraging them at times. Just absolutely beautiful experience with our family. True lovers of God are the true family of God, whose lives are meshed together as the collective missionaries of God. And then we have the closure. Matthew, we have another picture. This was our entire group for the week, for the most part. Some had to come and go because they had work and what have you, but that's almost our entire group there. And this was the day that we had our discussion. The so what? Titus 2:15 tells us, declare all things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard you. So what? Why are we doing this at all? Because it's God's call. He calls us to it. It may not be for some in Uganda. It may be in a different place. It may be, again, at your workplace. It could be at home with your family. But we are to declare these things. For what? All for God's glory. And then now what? Now that we have these truths, what do we do? And God's people will personally embrace the call to go. There is no excuse for cocooning. If you truly love him and you truly obey his commands, you will have no other option that you want to do than to go and share, because it'll be your heart's desire. And so this was our discussion at the end. And there's two realities. Their reality will be one of two forever for everyone, either heaven or hell. But there is a forever. And that reality needs to be told. I hear it all the time. Well, I don't want to live forever. We don't have a choice. There is a forever. But there's also eternal life through him. This reality births gospel urgency. And we bring the light into the darkness. So I just ask each and every one of you to just reflect on this and look at the call that God has on your life to go and share with others. Bring that light into the darkness and let it shine. And again, it's not through our own ability. He gives us the power. He says he will be with us always until the end of the age. After leaving the women of the village, with tears in our eyes. It was time to say goodbye after 5 days. We went to return to Sisa Village a year later, where I've been going for the last 2 years to visit my sponsor child. As you might remember, we had the Ugandan Orphan Choir come and visit us several years ago before any of us ever set foot in Uganda. It had no connection whatsoever to Moses, but the Lord opened the door for us to host the Ugandan Orphan Choir, and from there, several of our families sponsored children through Child Care Worldwide. And Gertrude is my sponsor child, and we've been watching her grow up. What a blessing it is to actually go and see your sponsor child. They did not know we were coming. They called her from school and had her come home. It was a beautiful thing. It was beautiful to see her mother. Her mom, again, has been, like many of the women in the villages and in Uganda, their husbands have abandoned them, leaving them to raise the children on their own with literally no finances. Her mom actually sells vegetables to support them. But I just, the Lord gave us an opportunity to bring Gertrude some new clothes and also some food for the family. And then I just ask that all of you would please pray for the little brother whose growth and ability to talk are both severely stunted. Again, this is very emotional for me because I've been visiting the family each year, not seeing him grow physically. And so I just ask for all of your prayers for him. So while we were in Sisa Village last year, we had the opportunity to go and share the gospel to many of their neighbors there. And during that time, we shared the gospel with an elderly man who lives just a couple of houses away from Gertrude. And we were able to pray over him that the Lord would do a miracle and capture the man's heart. I believe that he had said that he was a Muslim at the time. During this year's village, we learned that the man had passed away. The last time we were there, it was the same, it was Moses and me and Edward, all three of us returning. So we all remembered praying because we spent at least 45 minutes with the man last year. Uncertain of the man's eternal condition, we thanked the Lord for having given us the opportunity to share the gospel to him before it was too late. Again, 6,000 miles away. It's breathtaking to know that the Lord just gave us that opportunity. Well, just moments after finding this out and rejoicing to the Lord, just thanking him, Lord, for giving us that opportunity. Wow. Moments later, we were approached by the man's widow wife. And we have a picture of her. She is desperate and without food. She came to us crying, not able to speak, just saying, "Food, food, I need food." In that moment, we were given the privilege to pray for her, and she truly wanted our prayers. And we had the opportunity to yet again pray to the Lord for him to do only that which he can do. And so I ask that you please pray for her, that our great Lord and Savior will capture her heart with his amazing grace. From there, we also visited Nubuto's village. I have not been there in over 2 years. I only went there the first visit. This village is where Nubuto goes. Actually, she lives there. But there are many women there that are suffering greatly from AIDS. Many, most of them are widowed. Most of the husbands have passed away or have abandoned them. The women suffer greatly from depression. Many have said that they didn't think their life was worth living anymore. And Nubuto goes and speaks words of encouragement and shares God's love and God's truth to them every week. And I'm encouraged to know that she'll be sharing with them all of these truths as well. But this year, we just decided to stop in the village just for 10 minutes. And upon our arrival, I was immediately greeted by a woman and a group of women, but a specific woman who was just so delighted to see us. And she was sitting next to a blue bag. Well, I asked her, could I see that bag? There's something about it I just knew. And she responded, this is the bag you gave me when I met you the last time. She's been carrying around the anchor bag that the youth group has made several years ago. And she carries it wherever she goes. So both the woman and Barbara, Moses' mom, she also carries her anchor bag wherever she goes for the past 3 years. And so they were so excited to pose for the picture so that you could all see. And they just thank you all for it. I found out, the woman explained that the Bible that she was given in that bag 2 years ago was stolen. And as a result, in response, I felt the Lord's leading to go ahead and give her my Bible, which was given to me by Charlie. So Charlie, your Bible is now with her. And the Bible is rich in notes from the pastor's sermons, including disciple, the acronyms. There's just so many different awesome truths and teachings in that Bible. And so I just wanted to share that blessing as well, because God just had so many wonderful surprises that I didn't expect when I got there. And you're all part of that through prayer, through preparation, the youth making the bags, through your love, through your letters to our family. And I just thank all of you for that. So, amen.
Amen. Please let Christine know how much you appreciate what she's done and shared with us. It's not to lift her up as much as it is to encourage her. She's done a wonderful job, not only on the trip, but tonight. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much, Christine. And I just want to tell you, as under-shepherd, there's so much happening here tonight. I pray that the obvious is obvious, and I pray that what the Lord is doing that is not quite so obvious will perhaps now come to light. Let me just say, because some of you are like me and you'll be fixated on this until you hear otherwise. I had Christine's notes. Food was shared with the widow. And we had the blessing. Christine and our family had the blessing of not only praying with her, but feeding her. Amen. But here's the big picture. Once again, God is glorified. not just in what is happening here on Kent Island, not just in what's happening in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, not just what's happening in Kampala, Uganda. And as Christine said, this was a concentrated week of discipleship with the women of one life group. There are five life groups around Kampala, all that God is building up. But on a night when we're having an AIT, an Advanced Individual Training Session, this is the first time we're having an AIT on how to be an AIT. And I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but Christine wasn't just sharing with you the highlights of her time in Uganda. She just did a big part of the training. It's this simple. Did you hear about the hours with a stick in the dirt? It's not rocket science. Nobody here needs to learn Hebrew or Greek. What we've been blessed to do is to translate God's word. Not like Wycliffe and some of the other translators that literally will take Hebrew and Greek, but we've translated the application of the gospel, and we've been blessed to do it and to continue to do it. Tonight, I am so blessed because what's being shared and what has happened tonight is we've literally walked through what it is to have the truth and love of the gospel poured into a soul on Kent Island in the Eastern Shore region of Maryland, who has heard and obeyed and has brought it now 6,000 miles away, where there are language barriers, there are cultural barriers, there are financial barriers, there's persecution barriers, there's disease barriers, and our God is bigger than any of those barriers. I had a conversation this afternoon with Brother Jeff. And the question that Jeff brought that came from his heart that Christine answered and God is revealing is, where's the burden? You remember? Where's the burden for our people who live in the complacency of a culture that allows us to be Mayberryites? When you hear and see such hunger and thirst. Well, God's doing a work. We're blessed to be one thin piece of thread in his global fabric of faith. But what a blessed people we are. What an opportunity. This is, quote unquote, Good Friday. This is a great Friday. This is the day that Jesus died and said it is finished so that we could get started. As Christine shared, we don't have an ounce of ability in us of ourselves. But we have enough that nothing can stop us if and when we say yes, Lord, and faithfully obey. My prayer is that today, and for those that will watch later in the recording of tonight, that there'll be an affirmation that will blow up all rationalization, all compromise, all complacency. And say, if I can take to heart these seven foundational truths, if I can draw three circles in the sand and explain the truth of the applied gospel. Christine said that the ladies were literally jumping and rejoicing. Not when they got to the cross in the stick man gospel, but for the first time they'd heard the full context of the gospel, starting with the fact that 1 Peter 5:8 says that the devil is like a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. Oh, that's why it's so hard. that it's only through the miracle of grace, John 6:44, that none come to me unless the Father draws them. So all of your work and effort on your own is never going to amount to anything. Oh, now I get it. And you must repent and believe. You are responsible for your part. Okay, that makes sense. And then we come to the cross. Jesus is the only way. Right? John 3:16, everybody knows it. Romans 10:9. We see the warning of jumping over or watching out for the wolves who tunnel under. And they're riveted. They're embracing this. And it's like watching the light in their heart come on. And then they hear immediately after the cross that, good news, there's no condemnation for anybody that has truly just come through the cross. Amen. However, 1 John 2:6, those who claim to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked. The tension, again, of the gospel. And they're celebrating because they're getting clarity. But then we come to the end of the gospel's application, and we see the Great Commission. And they realize that Romans 12:1 says that their true act of worship is to live their lives as living sacrifices. And they say, amen, it makes sense. And Acts 1:8, that you're going to be the witness of our King. And they say, amen. And you even have to pick up your own cross daily and follow Jesus or else you can't be his disciple. And they say, amen. But then they get to Titus 1:11. And all of a sudden the gospel comes to where they live. You see, they've got charlatans all over the place. They've got the false teachers and the false gospels all over the place. But where in our country and in our context, the liars pretty much say that grace is so cheap that you don't have to worry about any sense of faithful obedience or responsibility. See, that's the drug of choice in our culture of church. But over there, the drug of choice that is peddled by the pimps in their pulpit is that you can have wealth and prosperity and every worldly thing you ever wanted. You just follow me. Just come, literally pay me to pray for you. Pay me to treat you better in the church. And then I'll give you everything you want. See, they live in that. They're more tortured and endangered by the pimps in the pulpits than the AIDS running through their veins. That's how bad it is. So when they heard Titus 1:11, that there is a responsibility to stand up, that the gospel is not, do you want to go to heaven? I do. The gospel is a call to come and die to yourself and then live for Christ. And there'll be times when you will celebrate from the mountaintops, and no doubt they would enjoy that, any single one of them would. But they've also seen the truth that says, and you have to walk through these valleys in the deep, deep mud. Know this, that there will be a time for compassionate confrontation because you're going to be an ambassador of the King. And they leapt in celebration. Everything was great, but when the truth came alive, the truth that slayed the dragons that was killing so many of their countrymen, spiritually, they couldn't contain themselves. My prayer is that same kind of excitement and enthusiasm and zeal will ignite the fire. Did you hear Christine when she's sitting on the plane? Then God lit the fire of my heart because I knew that I knew that I knew that I was like a medical missionary coming with the cure for the disease that was wiping out so many. And what did she have in her syringe? God's word, God's will, God's way. No rocket science. We were a part tonight of another demonstration. Christine had an opportunity not just to pour into the women of those villages, but today she gave us a demonstration of a layperson. Never been to seminary, have you? She doesn't need seminary. She has a Savior. You don't know any Greek, right? No. Doesn't need Greek because she has the gospel. My prayer is that this advancing inspirational trainer will not have just shared with you tonight the highlights of her experience, but that she may have been used of God to ignite the fire in your heart. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for what you are doing, that in every sense and in all contexts, whether it's here in Maryland, Vermont, Uganda, what you're doing in India, anywhere and everywhere else. Jonathan, I pray, watching with us in Sweden. Lord, wherever you're at work, we thank you for it. We recognize that none of this is possible without your grace, and that it's all for your glory. Lord, on this great Friday, may your death be revered by how we live. Forever thankful, forever committed, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well,